Welcome to Christian Warrior Talk, proudly presented by Christian Warrior Mission. Hosted by former Navy SEAL, SWAT officer, and atheist, now a warrior for Jesus Christ, Pastor Jason Perry. This is more than just a podcast. It's a spiritual vanguard where we intentionally set aside the hustle of our daily lives to come together. We gather to study the Bible, share in heartfelt prayer, and engage in meaningful discussions about all things Christian, homesteading, prepping, and self-defense. Lock shields with us, and together we will hold the line. And now, let's meet your host, Pastor Jason Perry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Crusader Missions Christian Warrior Talk, the fellowship show where we invest in each other, celebrate each other's victories, learn from our setbacks, and talk about all things Jesus, prepping, homesteading, just about anything that involves this crazy life that we're all in right now. So I am Jason Perry. Sorry, I don't have my beautiful wife's name up there. Let me fix that.
I'm Lauren. Sound check, sound check. Can everybody hear me? Yep, sounds on.
All right. So again, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. This show is part of Patriot Crusader Mission, a church farm, which we'll talk about tonight, and mission for veterans, first responders, and patriots. So we apologize for being late tonight. We had a, let's just say, let's praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, because, you know, you can be good or you can be blessed, and we've been blessed because we made a lot of stupid mistakes, and it's almost cost us our lives several times on the farm or injury. And thank the Lord, He has been merciful and protected us. You want to talk a little bit about tonight?
Yes, tonight is the mercy is on me because so I milk the cows in the evening now. And so Noelle, our two new cows, Noelle and Maple, come up. And we have a chute from the main fields. Then there's a fence chute and then the milking station. And there's gates at the field and the milking station. And so I am usually quite diligent about making sure that one of the gates is shut, kind of depending on where the cows end up afterwards. Sometimes, depending on the shuffle and all, they don't always exit into the main field, so I just shut the milking station gate. Ideally, I get them all the way out and shut the main field gate. Tonight, for whatever reason, I apparently was distracted when I was putting them out, and I left the main field gate open because I knew that Noelle was, or Maple was still in the chute. And I missed shutting the milking station gate. So hours passed, no problem. Just so that, praise God that he brought me outside when he did. So I go out after I get the kids to bed to put the, kind of just close up the chickens, you know.
And her awesome husband was in the gym during this. So
he was outside
doing all the chores while I'm trying to get this
stuff. Neither here nor there. He's usually working, and that's just my thing as I shut down the chickens. So I go out the basement through the milking station, didn't notice that the gate was open, and leave the external milking station door open because I walk out. And so I'm walking kind of up towards the first place that I know to collect eggs, and I hear kind of cows running, and I see a couple of them coming up to the water area. I didn't think anything of it. And then I hear this like mucky stomping, and Wally is chasing Noelle up the chute. And again, I was like, okay, so she's probably in heat. Didn't realize that. That's fine. No problem. The gate's shut. And then I, again, praise Jesus that I was there exactly when this happened. I see Noelle go into the milking station, which means the gate's not shut. And I also notice that the door kind of out of all of the fenced areas, just kind of into our backyard, is also open because I just exited. And Wally is hot on her tail. So now he might be going into, and there, my milking machine's in there, just like it's not an area suitable for cow craziness. So I go running down the hill to get in there, and Noelle has her head in, and I had left the lid off the feed bin. So she has her head in the feed bin, which actually might be good because that meant she stopped right there instead of going further in. And Wally's kind of standing at the entrance. I'm like trying to see if I can back him off, which of course he never respects me anyways. And when he's chasing a girl, there's like no way. So I cut around to try to get a scoop of feed to get Noelle out of the bin and see if I can like escort them out. And so as I'm kind of bending into the feed bin, and Noelle is kind of right here in front of me, and then Wally is standing at the door, he tries to mount her, which causes her to run forward very abruptly. She like hits me really hard. I go falling back into the lamp. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A big metal lamp post that we have
work
in there.
Work site lamp.
Knocks me flying, send that flying. And she kind of goes over towards the stanchion. Fortunately, she does not run over our very important milking machine. Wally, again, praise God on this. He got scared from the big bang. And he, like, backs out and kind of goes down the chute. And Noelle is just kind of standing there like, what just happened? So I shut the gate to get Noelle, keep Noelle inside, keep Wally out. Wally goes to challenge Solomon. So he exits the chute completely. And that's like, I mean, that's the main part of it. So, and then Maple comes in and complicates things and yada, yada, that part doesn't matter. But, it could have been way worse. I'm fortunate that she hit me over, but didn't like step on me, or I hit my head, but I didn't hit it harder. I didn't lose consciousness or anything. I don't have any like visible oochies and owies, just internal oochies and owies. I'm grateful that I was there to see that Wally chased her into the milking station. I'm grateful that nothing was worse with the mistake of leaving the gates open. Just blessed. God's hand was there as it's been before.
Yeah, we've had a lot of close calls. Farming or ranching with animals that weigh 1,000 pounds plus, or you know, minimum 700 pounds, whatever they are. Milk cows weigh. It's a zero mistake.
And then add in hormones and a horny bull.
Yeah. So you gotta be on your game. We've had multiple close calls. Luckily the Lord has protected us, so praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for protecting us and us learning from these mistakes without the tragedy, right? Because Lauren could be dead right now. She could have a broken bone. She could have, you know, God knows, right? It could have cost us a very expensive milk machine. It could have cost us thousands of dollars. You know, it could have cost us a ton of stuff. And instead, it didn't really cost us very much other than some oochies and owies.
I can deal with oochies and owies.
So, Curran, good to see you.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
One, if you're new to this show, which how could you be? But if you're new to this show and sound off with, good evening or strength and honor, and we will give you a...
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
So, the big thing everyone wants to talk about tonight, we started our PCM, Patriot Crusader Mission, a 90-day crucible challenge today. Mm-hmm. And where we focus on the four pillars of faith, family, fitness, and tactics. Couldn't come up with a cool F for the tactics. Yeah. I tried, man. So, you know, but anyways. And it was a tough one. You know, today... Everything conspired to get me off track.
Fundamentals.
Fundamentals, maybe. I like that.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I think we solved that problem. You know, tactics might be changing to fundamentals, the four Fs.
There you go.
All right. So anyways, you know, everything in life seemed to conspire, get in the way, 1,000 excuses to do it. Lauren really was on me as an assist to make sure that when things come up like they always do, and I want to be the guy who solves it, you know, ran out of diapers today. You know, blah, 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 blah. All these other things that come up that normally I would jump on and go solve the problem and try to be the hero for my wife. But she took up the majority of the slack for everything today, and I'm thankful for that. And I was able to get my workouts in under the wire today. Mm-hmm. I slid in at, you know.
Well, and you did not only one, but two.
Yeah, I did two workouts today. Yeah. So, so again, you know, that's great. I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy with how people are following instructions so far. Mm-hmm. When you join, if you want to do the 90-day PCM challenge with us, go to the Facebook group. And join the group. And then once I approve you, which I do pretty quickly, you go in there, you go to, you know, there's a video that says, you know, 90-day PCM Crucible Challenge instructions. And then there's a written one that says, start here. That's the written one. There's also two prayers, a daily morning prayer and a daily nightly prayer that you can listen to or read from John Eldridge, if you're new at praying. And then on top of that, you go down and then there'll be day one. And on day one, you'll see a picture in the comments, four pictures, a picture for faith. And you reply to that picture with what you did for faith. The most important thing is I am going to tell you what I do. I am not telling you that you need to do what I do for any of these things. I'm just telling you what I do as an example. All right. You do you. You can either do what I say or you can post something completely different that falls into that category. You don't have to do my Bible study. You don't have to, you know, do whatever. Just put what you do, like work it out. You have your own workout. Great. Post that you did something. The main thing is this is an accountability group, right? This is a Christian accountability group where brothers and sisters, warriors, are going to hold each other accountable and note and be there and lock shields around each other to make sure that we succeed on this holy quest to be closer to God in 90 days, right? To have a better relationship with God in 90 days, a better relationship with your family, to be in better health, to be a better vessel for the Holy Spirit, right? And to have fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Fundamentals or mm-hmm. tactics that are going to allow you to protect yourself, your family, your community, your church, et cetera, et cetera. So again, super excited about all the things that we're doing right now. I'm really excited about the engagement that we've gotten. One of the other most important things about this is you didn't have to start today. You can start tomorrow. You can start in 30 days. You can start in 60 days. This is an accountability group. So you start, you post.
Yeah.
Post, don't start on day five, start on day one. And you post in day one and you say, this is what I did. And then people will be able to see that you did day one to 90. You didn't mm-hmm. start at day 72, mm-hmm. right? So again, if you guys want to know what I'm doing, I am doing a genius food carnivore kind of hybrid. My main diet that I'm doing for health is I'm eating animal products, so carnivore, but I'm also rolling in nuts and blueberries. You know, I'll also take in olive oil, fish oil, and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, those things that are a part of the genius foods. You know, I'm going to do that. I'm also going to have cheat days. Right, we're going out to dinner for a date. We haven't had a date night in forever. The last thing I'm going to do is be a stick in the mud on that. Mm-hmm. Celebrate.
Sure.
Right. So I'm doing that. Okay. You know, I'm also so I weighed in today at 299. I was actually surprised. I thought I was going to be heavier.
You found the scale.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
It's right under the desk.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So I came in at 299. I thought I was going to be heavier. So that was kind of a surprise. Good. I did that middle of the day or late in the day, so it's probably going to be lighter in the evening as well. I mean, the morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to start bleeding off water. That's what happens when you start eating, you know, processed carbs.
Yeah.
But my face will slim down. Those things will happen. And in the beginning, my, you know, I just started working out again. My body is so used to being strong, you know, from being a power lifter and everything else, that I'm going to make crazy gains anyway. So if I'm going to suck it up and have poor performance in the gym, for lack of, you know, glycogen in my muscle bellies, it might as well be this month.
Okay.
Right. You know, so again, I'm trying to do some things. We'll see. I resume the right to adjust based on how I feel. You know, I'm not Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson can only eat
steak. Yeah, you don't have a steak. Specific health issue.
Yeah. He can only eat steak and salt and water.
Yeah.
That is literally his only diet. And that's his wife, his daughter's diet. And that's his wife's diet. And that, you know, that sounds terrible. You know, Sean Baker thinks he's the greatest thing ever, but he eats more than just steak. I think he eats a lot of red meat.
I'm not sure where, I mean, he pretty much only shows steak on Instagram. Yeah. So
I thought I saw him eating liver and a bunch of other stuff.
I don't remember.
So anyways, and I'm also, this drink here that you see me drinking, this is like a super green thing from Sam's Club. And so again, I'm not really doing worried about the toxin stuff. I'm more worried about the carbs and the fiber and all the other stuff in there. I just want to get everything out, you know, and see how my body does. Right. My goal is to be 225. Okay. Now we got a wedding coming up in June 10th. We're renewing our vows, and I'm hoping to be around there by that. We'll see. That's some heavy lifting between here and there, but I'm going to give it a go. I will say, you know, God, again, being merciful, you know, today there are days when I try to get out of bed where everything hurts. Mm-hmm. My ankles hurt, my wrists hurt, my neck hurts. It's just one of those days where something either I ate or something I did in my body, it's completely inflamed and it just sucks to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I sprang out of bed like 100 bucks.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so it was really good to go. I'm not on any Motrin right now. I haven't taken Motrin consistently in weeks.
Good.
I did do some knee therapy. You know, you guys know I get an injury from my time in the military. My back, my knees are thrashed. And so I did do some biking rehab today, which felt good. You know, so again, I'm happy with how my progress went today.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things I'm unhappy. I wrote that before I did it throughout the day because I was modeling.
Give examples,
it,
yeah.
Right. So, so today I was supposed to focus on you as my family.
Yeah, I saw.
And I did not get a chance to focus on you.
Well, you traded it up for the girls because B requested a date.
Right. So B requested. So I flip flop today and tomorrow. Right. So you know, but the way it's written, it's that. So again, sometimes my workouts aren't going to be entirely accurate because I have to forecast. Show you, I didn't start a day early like I probably could have.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but you know, B today, you know, on my family thing, and then you can talk about how your day went. My daughter, I just realized that yesterday I didn't spend any time with her. I was just really busy trying to get this launched, really busy with the Hope Report, getting caught up. Just there was a ton of stuff going on. I've got a parishioner, I don't want to call it.
Congregant.
There we go. A congregant who has some issues going on. So I've been doing a lot of phone counseling and talking to this amazing future warrior of Christ who's trying to lead his family out of darkness. And so it's all hands on deck, right? And then there are other friends, war council members who need me to be there for them, etc. So I just told B last night. I said, B, I missed you so much today. And she missed me too. And she asked me if we could play tomorrow. And one, of course, that made me cry. I'm such a wimp when it comes to her. And so today we played.
Yeah, so then this morning she came in right after your Bible study, like right when you were trying to switch gears to to working out.
Yeah.
And you're like, here we go. I'm about to have to derail my first attempt at a workout.
Yeah, because so my daughter comes in and she...
Tell her a time. She's fine with things kind of being set, even if it's not an immediate gratification thing. So I said, set a time, stick to it, and tell her what you'll do.
So she was chomping at the bit.
Oh, you said, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to play hide and seek and chase game and sleep game.
Yeah, so chase game is tag. So we've been playing. So we played hide and seek, which she's the worst hide and seek person ever. And then we played tag, and then we played my favorite game, which is the sleep game.
Yeah, I never get the sleep game.
Yeah. Well, she jumps on my back.
I'm always very jealous when she's like, Dada, let's go do sleep game. I'm like, why doesn't she ever have me?
So the sleep game is I lay on the bed, and she pretends, and I pretend to sleep.
Yeah.
And then she sneaks up and gently crawls onto my back, stands up, and then starts jumping on my back to wake me
up. All right, I'll skip that one.
Right. So, you know, and then I pretend like, oh, my God, you just woke me up. And then it's a tickle game. Uh-huh. And then we also play tickle game, too, where, you know, she's also not a very good tickler except for my feet. So,
like
again, it was amazing. And then, you know, I got to incorporate Anya, too, who was, like, searching my eyes up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm running by, and she wants you to see her eyes and that she's a part of it. So, again, I tried to make sure – you know, it's so hard when you're an entrepreneur or you're trying to be everything for anyone, or you work for a company and you're trying to respond to things and answer questions. You got big initiatives going on to not get lost in this, right? And I don't even know if mine's over there. Okay. And be in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're going to narrow it down to the window, throw it away, be in the moment, catch every wrinkle in their eye when they're smiling, every sparkle when they're there. Be in that moment, and that's the stuff they're going to remember forever.
10 minutes of kind of committed, intentional time goes so much further than an hour of multitasking.
And you know, and it was longer than that, but you know, the they're going to remember that. They're not going to remember the instance. It's going to be a blur memory, but they're going to remember the laughter. They're going to remember the sounds. You know, maybe not Anya. She's still one. She won't. But B will definitely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And so, again, the family part of this is the second most important part. You know, the faith part now, I feel like I've got on autopilot. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I get up. I thank him before my feet hit the floor. I get in. I do my Bible study now. I do corporate prayer. You know, I'm doing that. I'm listening to sermons and great theologians and thinkers all day who are doing stuff today. I don't know if you guys know Dr. Michael Brown, but Dr. Michael Brown has a pretty popular podcast he does every day. And he, you know, he was talking about, you know, police abuse or brutality, whatever. And I guess he had done a whole special the day before and the lines were packed. He's like, if anybody didn't get a chance to call in about that. So I called him like, hey, I'm a former cop, SEAL, and pastor, and I'd love to get on. They put me right to the front. And I called in and I refuted a lot of what he said. And fairly, he clarified a couple things. And, you know, but
Karen, go listen to him.
He go was listen to it.
Yeah, that
yeah,
was
it was
like
today. It was today, and it was right in the beginning of his show.
To it?
Yeah. I can show you.
Was that before or after B?
I don't recall, but I think it's around 7 minutes in. Yeah. If he's talking about police brutality, he's either about to get to me.
It's like 2:30.
He's about to get to me because I'm the only one whose call he takes on that. Mm-hmm. So, and it's in the relative beginning of the show. He's got a little bit of a monologue, and then I was the first, I think, one of the first calls he took.
Okay.
If not the only call he took on that. And so, and then he said, you know what? I think your call stands on its own or whatever. And we're going to leave it at that, meaning he couldn't refute what I said. And then he asked after I hung up, I wanted to ask him if, you know, what was a harder job, being a SEAL, a cop, or a pastor? And I took the time to write a response in the thread on the show. And he responded back to me, which is nice to know that it's not some intern.
And he said it would be great for him to call back in at it, you know, any relevant topic that he would enjoy to talk to him more.
So what I said was that physically being a SEAL was harder, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, it was way harder to be a cop because you're so universally hated and you're so second-guessed in everything you do. And then I said the hardest one to live up to is the pastor.
You should send them your Hope Report testimony from the other day.
Yeah. And
I think he'd find you quite intriguing.
But one thing I missed is I forgot to say that the loneliest job out of all those three, hands down, is the pastor. Mm. Hands down. It's the loneliest profession you're going to find out there. And that's unfortunate. But that's the way it is. And the SEAL teams, you're locking shields with your brothers, and the cops, you're locking with the Thin Blue Line and other cops who are suffering the same thing. When you're a pastor, you're listening to everyone else's suffering and everyone else's challenges. And, you know, nobody, you know, it's kind of break glass when need. Unfortunately, I haven't seen a lot of people who want to hang out with their pastor.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a very specific kind of relationship, I think, for most people. I don't think that generally that line is crossed into just casual friendship as well, because, you know, it's like you don't hang out with your counselor.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, but here, this is a different relationship. We are living life and we're walking on this together. So you're not going to know who I am unless you're hanging out with me when I'm not on the stage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's legitimate for people to want to, I would think, to know that their pastor is authentic Sunday and then through the week, kind of like your whole, you know, you can't fake out your family thing. You shouldn't be faking out your congregation either. And so I think them befriending you on a deeper level would benefit them as well, to see that you are really kind of, you walk the walk.
Christian Warrior Talk is sponsored by Trident Shield, your trusted ally in violence preparedness. Trident Shield safeguards your loved ones with expert training and consulting. Trident Shield, defending faith through preparedness, because together we save lives.
Curran said, so this is interesting. And what he says is, from what I know from my pastor at church I attend, is the most spiritually attacked, heavy spiritual warfare.
To be a pastor.
I can see that. And I can see how things are coming. Right now, that's not my season. Right now, the season I'm in, I've got an amazing wife next to me who's the best teammate I could ever ask for. She's better than any SEAL team teammate member I've ever had. Better than any cop that I've worked with, and I've worked with some amazing people. She's just the best teammate I could ever ask for.
Thank you.
And I'd die for 1,000 times over. You know, so I've got that going. I've got a great job with Mike Lindell currently. That is the Hope Report. You know, so I've got an amazing farm. God's blessed us. He put on this. Yes, it's hard work. Yes, it is backbreaking work. Yes, it is muddy work. Yes, it is dangerous work. Yes, it sucks to do farming at night in the mud. Cold night mud.
At least it wasn't raining.
Because we've been
there, done that too.
Yeah. You know, everybody wants to be a farmer on a sunny, warm
Southern
day.
Winter farming
is mud.
Is the worst.
Well, no, I bet you people are in the Midwest are like, what are you talking about? It's negative 20 out here right now. You guys had it for a week and it almost killed you.
Yeah, well, I think that they have systems in place to manage it. I think that their complaint is how long theirs last. But I think if they're apples to apples, kind of what we're going through at the same time,
yeah,
they would prefer their winter all the way through.
Yeah, and Karen, right now our marriage is in a great place because we deliberately pursue that. Like, one thing that Lauren and I got squared away early on in our relationship was communication. Mm-hmm. Lauren is also the best student I've ever seen in my life. I haven't seen anyone assimilate data or be able to be trained as easily as her. She instantly applies what she learns, whereas the rest of us meatheads tend to go back to our reflexes and, you know, what we did out of habit and multiple times before we catch ourselves and can make the commitment to do the way we were trained in. Lauren immediately applies it the next time, which when you're teaching her communication and you're trying to win arguments can be challenging.
Careful what you teach me. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the compliments.
Yeah. Very kind. So, but communication has led us to do that. And the great thing is we, in our 7 years of marriage, together 9 years, mm-hmm. we are so close, and we've talked about this in other shows, and this is part of the family piece of this. You want to get to where you're close, right? Where you are so, you're in love, you're around each other, you know you're in sync, and it's like feeling someone like spooning mm-hmm. in a bed, and which we don't do very much because Lauren sleeps in her acre and I have my acre over on the king size bed.
Yeah. Right. It's not even the kids' fault.
It's yeah, just, it's just that's the way it is.
King bed, you go to the edge.
But what I'm saying is when space opens up, when conflict or resentment or something is wrong, you feel that space immediately so you can pull, mm-hmm. you can make corrections and come back and you do it. What many marriages do, and many relationships do, and I've made this mistake, and I'm sure you have too, is once you separate, if you don't correct it,
yeah,
God knows how far away they are.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, and it can be really hard to bridge that gap at one point. There's a lot of resentment. There's a lot of things unsaid. There's a lot of baggage and stuff that builds up. Strongholds.
Yeah, you think you resolved one argument, and that's just the surface layer at that point.
Yeah, that's just
it's
the moment thing
it's
at
not
hand.
Even what you're arguing
really
about
angry
anymore.
About is something from a year ago, yeah. or 2 years ago, or something. So, that's part of this.
So, what do you think of Curran's comments? The communication is one pillar to a great marriage, but he says walk away from argument. I'm learning that lesson. Ooh. I think that's kind of a yes and no. Walk away from an argument in which tempers are flaring and you would say
it's
something
not
you regret
constructive anymore.
And you're acting in a way that is sinning against God and your partner, but it still needs to be resolved.
Yes, I would not sweep it under the rug. You come from a sweep it under a rug family.
Quite.
And that's not how we do things here. We get things out. And sometimes Lauren is a brewer. She likes to go away and stew on it and think on it and chew on it and then come back. I am a let's get this banged out right now. So I had to recognize in Lauren that when we have a disagreement and we're in conflict, which is rare, but when we're in conflict, she needs to go sort herself out.
Yeah.
And then she'll come back. The key is she has to come back. She can't leave me hanging, right? There has to be a deliberate come back to me and say, hey, I want to talk about it. And you've gotten really good at coming back sooner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've, through faith and all of those things, I have figured out generally kind of the patterns of what's at the root of whatever is going on. So it doesn't take me as long to kind of put the pieces together of why there is a conflict.
Right. So. The other thing is a lot of stuff works itself out when you have a biblical marriage. When we come into conflict is when we're both trying to lead sometimes in something and that can get tough. And when the chain of command is clear and when you have a godly marriage and the man is leading, things just kind of work out. That doesn't mean that we don't do what Lauren wants to do. You know, it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't, you know, more often than not, I'll choose what Lauren wants to do. It just means that the conflict has an ending point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole, the submission and leader and all of that, and I think it does often get twisted into, you know, the woman never gets say so I think the wife is allowed to and encouraged to express her position, her belief, or her opinion on whatever is at hand. And the husband's job as a leader is to take that into account and decide what is best for the family. Yeah. And that might be his original position, or it might be modified to the wife's position because it's better for the wife or better for the family, or he recognizes the validity of her argument or whatever. But the wife needs to respect whatever the final say is, and the husband needs to own the result.
Yes.
So 100%. I think that's, you know, if he caters to what the wife wants and then it doesn't work well, he still needs to own that he made the final call for that to be the decision. Or, you know, vice versa. So I think it's a balance and a dance of kind of what is biblical leadership and submission.
And, you know, as I've said on many of the shows that I've been on, the most miserable of marriages are the ones where the woman leads. And the man in every case I've ever seen of this, the man is checked out.
Well, the whole feminism thing and like, even the Chosen incorporated yeah. into a joke, you know, the husband's cop out of like, yes, dear, or, you know, you are always right, or kind of the pacify the wife and tell her she's always right, never argue, always give her what she wants. That then leads to the wife kind of falsely thinking that she should be leading. The husband's going to be resentful that things, you know, probably don't work out sometimes and it was the wife's fault. And, you know, it just creates all this kind of strife that's not supposed to be in the marriage.
So for my PCM 90 day challenge, you know, I'm hoping to get back into fighting shape. I'm hoping to be a good leader, right? I'm asking for prayers to that I can be a humble, righteous, and inspiring leader on this. And, you know, I'm hoping to get back into my prime shooting form. Mm-hmm. Right, to get back into doing trainings here again, because I've polished back up, I've shaken off the rust, and you know, I can represent myself well. I'm really looking forward to one, our marriage. I mean, I'm very happy with our marriage, I'm very happy with where we're at in a lot of things. And connecting with my children more, mm-hmm. and treasuring the moments deliberately more.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, being set free from the prison that is my body right now, which is broken down and overweight, and being projecting the appropriate image of what I should be projecting.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many benefits to improving that.
What about you?
Let's see, faith. So I've been trying to get back into being better about waking up early enough before the girls to get in my Bible time. I am right now working through a kind of read the whole Bible plan. It's not a Bible in 1 year. It's like
6 months.
What is the keep the peace?
6 months. It's like six. What is six? It's usually six.
It's in the Bible app. And I'm a good ways behind, keep the peace from when the original start was, and there's a couple of people still moving through it, and I'm just trying to kind of pick back up. So I'm in Exodus right now. Today, I got interrupted before I was able to complete the day's reading. Rain woke up early. Anya woke up early. So that's my biggest struggle, is she's not consistent on when she wakes up, so it's hard to know when I need to get up in order to have enough time. I love the thought of kind of getting a prayer in before you get up. I usually get up to a crying baby, and so I'm kind of like rushing out of bed, and so I don't have that moment. So that's the kind of the problem I'm needing to solve on how. On mornings that kind of immediately go into kid mode, how to get myself set in the Lord for the day. I've been navigating that issue for a while. I am continuing to navigate it, but I'm not going to give up. I do know that the days that I'm able to get like at least a good 30 minutes of quiet house with the Bible are the best days that I have. So it's definitely worth it. Health-wise, I'm not needing to lose weight or anything. I'm trying to just cut down on kind of like the sugar, junk, carb stuff that's just been around the house and just don't feel as good. I have some autoimmune conditions that are mostly kind of in control, but I probably could feel a little bit better than I do now. So hopefully cleaning up diet will help with those. My exercise is largely farm fit. My entire day is one workout. So I don't really find the need to add on more than that right now, nor do I know where that time would come from. But I mean, I'm doing chores and milking and everything often with the kid on my back. And so I'm
the mud,
cardio, mud. Weightlift, all that stuff is called farm fit and it's working fine for me. And then fundamentals. I didn't do any specific training with my firearm today, but I did try to be more mindful that I had it with me, which, much to Jason's chagrin, I'm not always the best at. But I'm trying to, even like when I'm out back just doing chores and I typically would be like, meh, I don't really need it. I've been trying to be better about carrying it with me. And that's all my categories.
That's all your categories.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, I miss family. I did not do well at picking a specific person today.
Yeah, but you're like spread all
so,
over.
So, I mean,
love into everyone.
I do. I mean, that's just kind of how, like, I mean, that's, I'm mom. That's what I'm supposed to do. Mom and wife. And that's, you know, that's what I do. And I try to do as well as I can. But if the idea is to be extra for somebody, I didn't do a very good job at targeting that. I did try to have just kind of as able. I'm a big multitasker around the kids, and I do regret that. Like, B is constantly asking, "Mama, can I have your attention for a minute, or can you come?" You know, and I'm so often just in the middle of something that I'm like, "Oh, wait until I'm done, or I'm almost done, and I'll be there." My biggest lament is when I don't even follow through on that, like saying just a minute or I'll be there as soon as I finish. And then I pivot to something else and I don't actually, and that's, I'm always regretful when I find, oops, I did that again. So I tried today to, I guess, just make sure that I gave some not multitasking time, but I do need to do better with that. And also try to cross paths with you a little bit more.
Yeah, we've been in a season where we're like ships passing in the day, you know.
Yeah.
At each other and all that. But there are times where our eyes meet and song comes on that I feel like we connect in the moments that we are. Obviously, it could be better. And we have our first date in a long time this Friday.
Pray for our babysitter because this is going to be the first time ever that someone other than myself has put Anya down to bed. And we've been working on getting her ready for it over the last couple of weeks. She is a nurse to sleeper, which is why Jason doesn't even tackle it. And so we've been transitioning her to kind of a bottle at bed. The nanny tried to do it. The girl who, she's our nanny and she's going to be babysitting for us that night too. She tried to put her down for one nap earlier this week and it did not go well. So just say a prayer for her that Anya is, goes easy on her. Otherwise it'll be interesting to come home to.
Yeah.
We don't want our nanny to quit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only one we have here.
Mm-hmm.
The only person we have here. So yeah. So again, you know, we're trying to,
thank you, Karen.
You know, we, it's important to do this.
It is.
You know, and we're hoping to build to a date night and a hotel and a breakfast and then come home and not be in a rush.
Yeah, I mean, when there's more factors other than just kids when you start getting into that. But yes, a night out without having to be home for bedtime, which is what we've gotten to, like early dinners come home for bedtime.
So like 4:45 dinners.
First goal, not quite that bad, but close. First goal is dinner out, let someone else do bedtime. Second goal would be being able to do an overnight, a local overnight.
Yeah, local.
Right now, she's still getting up during the night as well. So we're sorting it all out. Progress is being made. Jason's been very patient because I've, for various reasons, kind of stalled on transitioning her off. So I finally got in line on it. And she's doing better than I thought she would, which Jason knew would happen. And we'll just pray that it actually goes well for this babysitter.
That almost sounded like Jason was right.
This was the perfect time. It worked well because it was the perfect time.
So the great news is we're going to get our romance back, which we're really looking forward to, and to go out and having fun. And, like, you know, I don't know about what burning down the town looks like, but not having to race to bed because we get to sleep in and go to breakfast.
Yeah, that's not the this Friday version of
no,
it.
No, this Friday version will just be we're not being in a rush to come home because the kids are in bed.
Yeah.
Good right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see.
We might not be in a rush to come home, but the kids might not be in bed. We'll see.
Oh, man.
We'll see. It'll go great. It'll go great.
So I'm really happy with the Daily Battle Bible, your Daily Battle Bible study. It has been so good for me.
You've been doing great at it.
Get in the Word, connect with other believers, pray corporately, you know, and it's just been fantastic. It's such a peace that happens with that. And like I said, I'm just really happy with it. The 9 o'clock crew, it's very rarely right at 9 o'clock sharp. It happens mm-hmm. within the 9 o'clock hour mm-hmm. just because mornings happen around here. But, if you haven't checked it out.
The sooner you get to it, the sooner you get to your workout.
Right, right. So
motivation to not, let it be 9:30 or 9:45.
Yeah. So, but sometimes the text is really challenging.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I
got to sort this out first.
I got to go through 4 or 5 different Bibles. I got to get on Logos. I got to do some research and try to pull out the meaning on some of this stuff. Some of it's challenging. Mm-hmm. I'm not a seminary educated dude. So, I have to do my homework.
Well, I think that's apparent, very apparent when you finally are ready to start talking about whatever the reading is for the day that you've done your homework.
Yeah.
And I think you're educating a lot of people with it.
Well, again, I'm just really thankful for the crew that's showing up and doing that. As far as things around the farm that you guys are probably wondering about, Peg's 5 babies, or 4 of them, are doing great. 1 male is pretty gimpy, right?
Yeah, I actually haven't even seen him move around. I just haven't spent any time with them much in the last couple of days.
Yeah, so we apologize for no pictures.
I haven't seen an update. We're hopefully kind of getting them some more space to kick around in.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be a T-post driving fool, and I'm going to be stringing up some hog panels and getting them out.
Letting Peg stretch her legs a little bit. So one of them's been gimpy. I think that she smushed him kind of in the first day, and he didn't die from it like 2 of his brothers, but I think she either broke his leg or like really tweaked it. So we'll have to see.
We're going to make the call, and if he's suffering too bad or if we can raise him and process him first, so it's, we're going to have to see how that goes.
But otherwise, they're doing fine. They're all growing. They're getting big, looking, putting weight on. So.
Yeah, it's great. And then Mocha, our escape artist.
Still with Mama.
Baby cow.
Haven't tackled that one yet.
That's hopefully this weekend we'll get her separated. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. And then we are building the processing crane, I think the following weekend.
Okay. It's
where we're sinking 2 16-foot 6x6s in the ground, 4 feet down.
In the barn.
Concreting them, yeah. And then we're putting a steel I-beam across the top with a winch mounted on a, what would be the word, a trolley.
Okay.
That moves around.
Okay. Oh.
It's well, goats really are escape artists. Our Jersey
Holstein
cow should not be, but she is.
Yes.
She's full attitude.
She's a stinker. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're hoping to break her that in form of bond with her. So
right now she's feral.
Yeah, she's definitely feral. Even if she does have a dog collar on.
Yes. Yeah. That's about it. That's about where the training started and ended.
Yeah.
We got a collar on her.
You got a collar on her.
Yeah. Next up.
I mean, we are a catastrophe here. We are a catastrophe. Like, everyone, if you think we got our stuff together, you know, because we have a YouTube channel and because we do all this stuff.
Because we have a lot of things here.
Yeah. It's.
She only escaped from, we tried to separate her from Mama. And she escaped that and got right back in with Mama. So she at least went back where we would want her for an escaped cow to go.
Yeah. It wasn't like when Solomon got out.
Yeah. Went to the neighbor.
Solomon, our bull, jumped out of our field to go fight another bull. Couldn't get into his field. Went into our neighbor's garden, feasted. And then before I could get over there, jumped back over, which he did me a solid.
Yeah.
So. Well,
God
yeah.
has had his hand of mercy on our farm.
Our farm is a mess right now. It is dirty, muddy, mud from one end to the other.
I don't think anybody's farm looks pretty right now.
Our house is a mess. Everything's a mess right now. We are just holding it down. We're surviving right now. And
we've got to give ourselves grace in that season.
Yes, we are in the sloppy season. We hope to not stay here.
No.
You know, and...
Just look past the toilet that's in the front yard.
Yeah, we literally have a toilet in our front yard because our bathroom flooded.
We're that.
And we ripped out the floor and it's drying right now. And now we're ordering a vanity and different parts. And the vanity we want is like 5 to 12 weeks. And so we're trying to come up with other ideas. So, yeah. Pardon. So. But it's Tennessee. The good thing is we're probably not the only one on the street with a toilet in our front yard.
We could move the toilet. Shall we move the toilet? The toilet doesn't need to be sitting there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we're those people.
I think we should clean off the toilet and put it back in there and then move it around, move in when we need to.
Whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, that's us. So again, don't think that we have like everything together. You know, we choose this camera angle because it's clean. It's not clean so much that way.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. No, this is where we do church. So it gets, you know, but so anyways, you know, we got chicken poop from one end of our yard to the other. They don't care. I can't wait till we coop them up. That is going to be a godsend. Sheep heads are outside. Lauren grew up with one of those.
Yeah.
She had an outhouse named Alice.
I did.
Full of spiders in Maine.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I'll pass.
I know that.
If I have another option, I'll pass.
Thank God we had two bathrooms in here, or else we would have never just figured something else out.
We would have been fast-tracking this project a lot more so than we
have. Yeah. So, So I just wanted to do that full disclosure. We're hanging on by our fingernails. We've been blessed to be protected. I don't want to say lucky. We have been blessed by protection from the Lord for all the mistakes we made and how no one's been hurt and how no big catastrophes are happening. And we got to learn from these lessons and we got to learn them once because, the Lord isn't going to, we're not going to test the Lord, right? You know, and move on from there. I'm really excited when we do process Bacon, who's our, you know, who's our first pig to go. I'm hoping that he doesn't abortate. I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, we'll see.
And
he'll at least be good practice on how to process a pig. Break it down.
Yep. And
worst case, the dogs are going to get some good food and we won't have to buy kibble for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Worst case, the dogs are in paradise. And then, you know, to process our first cow. Can't wait for that. Can't wait to have steak in the freezer.
Praise Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So no one can join voice chat.
Well, hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett. Welcome to the show. Typically, we do take calls. We didn't plan for that tonight. I didn't hook up my phone to do it. We can take calls. So if you definitely want, next Wednesday, we'll be hooked up for phone calls. People can call in. We can talk about it. Welcome to the show. God TV Radio.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
But that's really it, guys. You know, sorry we were late to come on today. Again, Lauren almost got killed. Almost got stampeded by a Jersey cow and a Scottish Highland. So
always something. It's always something. That was the worst of the somethings.
So I'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Bible study. And I look forward to seeing the progress and holding each other accountable on the 90-day Patriot Crusader Mission 90-day Crucible Challenge. Mm-hmm. All right. So all you got to do, and Curran, I haven't seen you on there unless your name is something else on there. Join the Facebook group. And all you got to do, you don't have to do what I tell you to do. Just do something, faith, you know, that furthers your relationship with God, something that furthers your relationship with your family, something that, you know, that improves upon your fitness level or diet, and then something to make you a better, you know, defender of your family.
I just found out about it, so maybe tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll see you there, brother. We'll see you there. I look forward to interacting with you there, and we'll be talking about it every morning. So during the Bible study. So that's all we have. Lauren, you ready to pray us home?
Sure.
Oh, she went Boston there. Did you hear that? Sure.
Sure.
Holy smokes. Sure. Sure. You going to pray in a Boston accent?
No.
All right. Go for it.
I'll spare everybody that. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry. Good.
Lord, thank you so much for this time of fellowship. We are so grateful, as always, for the community who joins us and spends their time with us. We know that time is precious, and everyone could be using it for something else that's important, and they chose us, so we're so grateful. Lord, I pray that they benefited from their time with us in the way that we benefited from them joining us. Lord, thank you so much for your hand of mercy that you have given us on our farm. We talked about it extensively tonight, but just truly, truly grateful and humbled that you are protecting us and me in particular tonight, Lord, that you prevented anything worse from happening with our cows, with me, with our infrastructure. Lord, I know that that was you there that prevented that from going any worse. Lord, thank you for bringing me outside the house when that happened as well, and just everything in the way that it happened, Lord, and help me learn from my error and sloppiness so that I can be a better custodian to everything that you've blessed me with, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you help everyone in the journey of this 90-day challenge that Jason's been talking about so much, and that I truly believe could help everybody who commits to it. And it's only through you that they'll be able to get through and actually benefit from it. So please just open everybody's eyes to the ways that they need to focus their time in faith, time with you, Lord, time with their family, with their fitness and their health and their fundamentals. Just reveal to them the specific things that they need to improve so that they can do better on their walk with you and in a faith stronger in you, Lord. And as we move towards the end of this week, I just pray a blessing of peace and health and safety over all of our listeners. May they lean into you with all of their struggles and feel your presence in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everyone. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week, same time, 9 p.m. I will see you tomorrow for Bible study, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. And I'll also see you at the Hope Report, again, Mike Lindell's show that we do for Mike Lindell on at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, definitely encouraged. Jason did his testimony yesterday, and it was long form, like an hour and a half.
I did two-hour testimony yesterday.
And so definitely go listen to that. I think it was one of the best ones that he's given just because he has really got to dig into it. And then tomorrow is his co-host, Melissa's, and she's got a great and very different story as well. Yeah. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, come and check out Melissa's testimony. It's very powerful, and I hope you get something from it. So God bless everyone. No, you missed my testimony. It's there. You can go back and watch it. Yep. It's curated. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's on Frank's Speech. It's on everywhere. And then Melissa's is tomorrow. So God bless you guys.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in today's Spiritual Vanguard on Christian Warrior Talk, presented by Christian Warrior Mission. As we've united in prayer, let's hold fast to the truth in Nehemiah 4:14. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Until next time, let's keep a humble and grateful heart, deliberately pursue our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and equip ourselves with the full armor of God. You're not walking this path alone. Lock shields with us, and together we will hold the line. May God bless you all.